Well, hello there.
Hello
Ladies and
there.
Gentlemen, we are back. Missed a week. We apologize. It's okay. Calm down.
Shit happens,
man.
We'll
be fine. Shit does happen. It is Halloween. It is October. A lot of spooky things going on.
That's a fact.
But with me, as always, the creepiest motherfucker I know, Mr. Too Tall, Mr. 8 foot seven, Mr. Neon Clear, the best ghost that I know, Nick Walker.
Oh, thanks, man. That was quite the intro. Cheers to you. I don't think I've been called a ghost before, but you know, I'm pasty. What the fuck can I do about it? Casper. I did used to get Casper all the time. Because I used to be fucking pasty ass white, dude. It was ridiculous. I got Casper a lot.
Was that like from Powder or one of those like movies, or is that from like, or was it from Casper the Ghost?
No, that was from Casper the Ghost, but I did get called Powder as well. Phenomenal movie, by the way, but I did get called Powder as well, especially when I started shaving my head like this. Yeah, man, I got Powder all the time. Then I moved to Florida and I wasn't as pasty pale white. I was like a whitish reddish color.
Like a ripening strawberry.
Exactly. Exactly.
We are in trouble tonight. This show is already going downhill
Holy
fast.
Holy shit. Yeah. That's what happens when you take a week off, man. You come back like super fucking energized, ready to roll. Let's go.
Speaking of ready to roll.
Yeah, man.
Topics for tonight. Urban legends.
Yes.
We're going to talk about some urban legends.
Yes.
Fun topics, right? Can't talk about Halloween without the scary urban legends, myths, and things that happen or that people are afraid of. Like, just wouldn't be the same without it. So if you haven't been tuning in, you've missed our alien conspiracy theory episode, our fun things we like in favorite movies. You also missed like some of the haunted destinations and stuff that we talked about, haunted places, talked about Skinwalker Ranch. So go back and check some of those episodes out, because a lot of fun. Think you'll enjoy them.
Oh yeah, we had a blast with those. Like I said, I love this time of year. This is my jam. So this is a lot of fun. And we got, I mean, with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, we're gonna have a whole lot too. But for now, let's focus. Let's focus
on the task at hand.
Exactly.
So urban legends. So one that I find very intriguing. And I, for the longest time, I really didn't know this was a thing, because for me, the only time I ever heard of it was in the movie The Crow, which is Devil's Night. So you're from Detroit, right?
I'm from Michigan, not Detroit, but yeah.
So you probably have better insight than I do on this, because like, I never knew it was a thing. Like in the Bible Belt or the South, like that's, nobody celebrates that day, right? It's called Devil's Night, so nobody celebrates that day down there. So I'll let you kick it off. Like, what do you know about Devil's Night? Like, what is this night?
This is something, well, it started, I believe, back in the 1940s in Detroit. It really, really picked up from like the 60s to the 90s, right? And it was from people lighting fires, destroying buildings, all sorts of mass fucking chaos, man. Just mass chaos. You know, like I said, it started out in the 40s. They call it petty criminal behavior, but I mean, there was vandalism, you know, burning down houses, all sorts of shit. And it started in the 40s,
that would be during like World War II and stuff, wouldn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
About the time where going through the recession, people angry.
Yeah.
And then also, if you look at,
I was going to say, yes, angry, and people were fucking broke. They were broke. There was no money. And so what would happen on October 30th, Devil's Night, is people would go out and commit let's say crimes, I guess, you know, minor felonies, except for arson. Arson's pretty fucking major. But yeah, dude, it went from the 60s all the way to, I think, the mid 90s. I think like 95, 96 is really when it kind of tapered off, because the mayor of Detroit, and I can't remember his name, but at some point, I think this was actually in the 70s. Whoever the mayor was back then had called on groups in the community to come together on Devil's Night to prevent these acts, because I'm telling you, it was breaking and entering, it was arson, it was eggs, it was all the nasty shit. Now, like, we never did that. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we did do Devil's Night, but for us, it was like
egging houses or TPing a house.
100%. It was just TP in the house. We did really enjoy putting shaving cream in people's mailboxes. That was one of my personal favorites. And then, yeah, of course, TP in houses and stuff like that. We never did damage. We never took bats to mailboxes. We never, you know, that I think that actually
flaming bag of poo.
No, we never did the flaming bag of shit. No, but it was, you know, for like, it was fun, because that night before Halloween, like, everybody came out, like all the kids came out. And, you know, like I said, we didn't do anything as serious as lighting fires and breaking into places and looting and all that other shit. We never did any of that, but it was just a really cool experience for me, honestly. Like, I mean, we didn't shaving cream in a mailbox. You can fucking hose that shit out. Toilet paper, that's kind of a bitch, especially if we got rain or snow in October. But
so I'm seeing here, it looks like it escalated in the 1970s with the vandalism and the arson. If I'm thinking about Detroit in the 70s, that's when, like, didn't a lot of the plants close down, and didn't Detroit take like a dive during that, which would probably give a reason to the escalation of the arson and the crime, because when people are mischievous, but they're also angry, it tends to escalate. And then I see here where it says, like, in the 80s is when they kind of came in to kind of start tapering and cleaning stuff up. So kind of makes sense on why we'd get out of hand during that time frame.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no excuse for setting fires. So let's just
never.
You know, we'll start at that. But I thought it was really interesting to hear that it started in Detroit, Michigan. I mean, you know, that's the research I did. Because I had researched where it had started in the United States. I don't know if it had started somewhere else overseas. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, I mean, you mentioned The Crow, right? I mean, that movie is solely based on Devil's Night. I mean, Eric Draven's murder and the murder of his girlfriend all happen on Devil's Night. All the fires get lit. Fire it up. Right. Like,
fire it up.
Yeah, man. Like, just fucking crazy shit. But yeah. And then, so I think I mentioned it last podcast, like, when we moved down south to Georgia, I don't know if I had brought it up to you that first year that we met, and it was, cause that was 96. And I remember talking to somebody and like, hey, are we going out for Devil's Night tonight? And they were like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
It probably was me.
and I'm like, you don't know what Devil's Night is? Like, what are you talking about? I mean, it's fun. Again, I don't condone setting fires and looting, but like, if you gotta go fucking TP somebody's house or put some shaving cream in them, fuck it, dude. That's fun. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I did my own version around the holidays after Christmas, between New Year's and Christmas,
Jesus
when
Christ.
It got really cold. And so this is going to be way off topic, but I got to share. So me and our mutual friend, Bobby, so shout out to Bobby, a really good friend of ours. Him and I, we worked at a grocery store and they had eggnog on sale for a penny, a half gallon.
So I reached my pocket. This.
And I had 51 cents, which covered like almost like 48 half gallons in the tax, basically. So I got all these half gallons of eggnog before it was going to expire. And I drive them up to, because he was staying with you at the time.
Yep.
And we drove up and he was like, what are you going to do with it all? And we're like, we're going to gift it to your neighbors. So we went around and like would put them in people's mailboxes. We undid the little string on the top and like put them upside down on their floor mats, on cars. We just started gifting open containers of eggnog so that as they picked it up, it was just going to gush out.
Wow. I don't remember you guys doing that. I remember you coming back with all the eggnog, but you should have saved it for Devil's Night, except there's no, actually, that's not true because there is eggnog in the store right now. There's fucking eggnog in the store. I got the last six pack of Sam Adams Oktoberfest tonight. The beer guy was like, hey, this is it. It's all I got. He put two on the shelf. Some dude grabbed one and I grabbed the other.
There you go.
Fucking gone. It's middle of October. It's fucking gone. But yeah, anyways, that was one thing I wanted to bring up, dude. Cause like you said, I mean, in the South, you know, it's all, you know, Jesus and woo, you know, up there. I mean, we celebrated Halloween for 2 days.
You heathens, yeah. You.
Yeah, man. You know it.
I'm interested. It's interesting. Cause we moved last year to California and, you know, Halloween, like everybody did the trick or treating and stuff, but everything was so locked down and closed that we didn't really get to see what it was really like. So this year's going to be interesting because there's a large Hispanic population and community out here. And I've got a lot of like Hispanic and Latino friends that I'm really curious to see like how they celebrate Dia de los Muertos. I don't know how to say the day of the dead.
Yeah.
And kind of how big that is out here in that culture, because you would see some of it in like Florida and Georgia, but I imagine it's a lot bigger out here, kind of like, you know, Devil's Night for you being up in the north. So just curious how just the different cultures and things celebrate these different nights. So that's going to be really interesting for us, I think.
Well, yeah, because Day of the Dead this year is on November 1st, starts on November 1st and ends on November 2nd. So, yeah, that's interesting because I've got several Hispanic friends myself. And I know that they've celebrated, but it hasn't been like parties or anything like that. Because, I mean, you're really kind of it's like prayer and remembrance for the loved ones that have passed. But I mean, they've got the painted skulls and the beautiful artwork, man. I want to celebrate this shit just for the artwork. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh yeah. Very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, it obviously originated in Mexico, but yeah, I'd be curious to hear how that is celebrated out there. Up here in North Carolina, I don't think we're going to see much of that shit, but you know,
you might here and there, but yeah, out here, it's probably going to be more prevalent, and that's going to be interesting to me. I love experiencing cultures and different things. So I think that's going to be pretty cool. So now that we're completely off topic,
I mean, not necessarily.
Let's jump into some urban legends here.
Yeah, fire it up, man.
Do you want to start with one from the Carolinas there?
Yeah, so I was looking them up, and this one's actually kind of fucking funny more than anything else, but it's the Beast of Baldenboro, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So supposedly, it's a vampire cat beast that maybe mixed with a bear. But back in 1954... there was a string of like gruesome deaths for livestock and cattle and things of that nature. Broken jaws, like crushed heads, blood completely drained from the bodies. And supposedly like the killings tapered off as like people started to hunt for the beast. I mean, like I said, this was back in 1954, but I read this today, so I thought I'd share it. I thought that was really fucking funny. I need to look up actually where Baldenboro is, because I'm kind of curious if I'm close. I need to go there. They better have a Beast of Baldenboro Museum or something.
Kind of sounds like cat dog turned zombie or something.
Yeah, it does. It does. You should see the picture of it. It's fucking weird. It looks like a fucking kitty cat with like massive like talon claws. It's fucking funny.
So, you know, that brings up an interesting point, and this kind of goes back to our kind of conspiracy theory episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
That we did. Could that have been aliens? Could it have been some secret government experiment out in the middle of nowhere of the Carolinas?
I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, because what? Skywalker Ranch? I mean, animals were drained of the fucking blood.
That's what I was... That is what made me think of that.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. 100%. And of course, like out here in North Carolina, all we have where we're at in Western North Carolina, all we have is fucking nature. Woods. A lot of untouched, beautiful woods out here. Anything could happen. Literally anything.
So I'm going to go a little bit, probably on a cliche route, but, you know... Okay. California, Hollywood, right? So yeah. There's an urban legend around the Hollywood sign. There's called a Hollywood sign spirit.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. So I figured, you know, kind of cheesy, but at the same time, you know, why not?
So fucking urban legends, man. They're all fucking cheesy.
Yeah. So it says in the 1900s, actress Peg Entwistle, when a possible career-ending review was published about one of her films, she climbed to the top of the sign where the H was and threw herself off of it.
Holy shit.
So I guess this review was so bad, she's like, I'm ending this, climbs to the top and just jumps. Like, what? Okay. So she is, yeah, so she's now called the Lady in White, and it said that she haunts the sign and the surrounding area. So the legend continues to state that the Lady in White will appear to people hiking to the off-limits part of the sign where she had killed herself. So apparently she went to an off-limits part. Well, it may not have been off-limits back then, because I doubt they probably had the fencing and stuff in the 1900s. But yeah, so she'll appear to people in a white gown that go to haunt hike during the off-limits places. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the Hollywood sign, it's surrounded, like it's up on this top of the mountain. To get certain views, like the really good views, you have to drive down these neighborhoods, and you're not supposed to be driving down these neighborhoods, but there's no like fence or anything. Like, but it's really hard to get to the sign. Like, it's actually fenced off like way away so nobody can get to the sign, so they don't damage it or vandalize it.
Right.
So people make it a hobby or an adventure to go and try to sneak around and go up to the Hollywood sign, which you can actually get in a lot of trouble for. but yeah, so apparently she appears to them. And what it says is she has a skeletal face, deep hollowed out eyes. And if those hikers are alone, the Lady in White somehow influences them to share her own cruel fate. So basically she convinces them to commit suicide if you're alone.
No shit.
Yeah, it says that many of the Hollywood suicides have been reported in the century following her suicide. And in 2012, a man's decapitated head and mutilated body parts were found right by where she killed herself.
Yes. I mean, that's not good, but that's a pretty fucking cool urban legend.
Yeah. To be honest, just look this up now. Was thought it was going to be like really cheesy. That actually turned out better than I thought it was going to be.
Man, that's friggin', yeah. That's crazy.
Almost makes me want to go hiking now. You need to make a trip out of here. We'll have to go take a hike. Maybe like at midnight or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in.
Full on creep fest.
I'm a big dude. I'm a big dude. I'd be okay.
So other urban legends I think we should get into is just some just general classics. Like, you know, when you think of urban legends, what is one of the most memorable urban legends you remember hearing as a kid?
Me?
Yeah.
Since I'm the only other one on this fucking podcast, that was a dumb statement. That, well, but you know what? That's how this fucking week girl behind gone. You. That, I mean, that is fucking how this week's gone. Me? What a fucking idiot. Anyway, God, man. I mean, I remember like Bloody Mary, because that isn't that the one where you say the name in the mirror three times and then something?
Yeah.
Whew.
You say her name multiple times and looking in a mirror, and then she appears. In the earliest versions, she was an unmarried woman. And if you saw her face, the woman would see the face of her future husband in the glass of a skull if you're destined to die before being wed.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. Okay, so this is deeper than I thought.
Man, damn. There's some crazy shit. That this is some crazy shit.
This evolved into more gory. So this is evolved into a more gory story. Groups invoking a bleeding spirit or witch called Mary. Some links have also been made to Queen Mary. Interesting. As she suffered multiple miscarriages. And the story's been hugely influential in mirrors, reflections, regular fixtures, uncanny literature, play parts, and Clive Barker's The Forbidden. And then went on to be the film Candyman was inspired by it.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Also Ringu, which was the, I think, Japanese version. I think it's Japanese, maybe Chinese or Korean. I can't remember. Of The Ring. And which was the original.
Fuck that, man. I can't do it.
And then also X-Files did a thing on it. So, yeah.
Yes.
That one seems to inspire more and more horror flicks, and it seems to be ever evolving.
Well, and so like there's this North Carolina website. It's called Only in Your State, which is kind of cool that I've been kind of like just dabbling on. And I'm kind of pissed off because it doesn't give me a location, but I'm reading right here. So the headline is like, the devil dances right here in North Carolina. But apparently there is a 40-foot in diameter campground or camping area that nothing will grow. And if you leave something in the circle, it is sure to vanish the next day. Fucking weird. It says people have camped there. Nobody's disappeared. Like, people haven't disappeared. But it says they do see something strange in the area overnight. So that's kind of fucking cool too. I wish I could. I need to figure out where this is. Like, I don't know. I don't know with copyright. Like, I don't know if we can show the picture. So I guess we won't on Zoom. I guess we won't. I need to read more about that. But it's literally, it's just a 40-foot circle in the middle of all these fucking trees with a fire pit in the middle. That's crazy. That's crazy. But you know what that reminds me of? Oh my God, bro. I wish I could show this to you. Do you remember, and I think we've talked about this on a previous podcast, but
did you hear something?
Yeah.
Did you summon the spirits tonight?
I did. Rise up. But no, dude, there is a street. It's called Gravity Hill here in North Carolina. It said that it's on Richfield Road, but a young mother and her child were driving when her car stalled. Now there's satanic writing all over the ground. So this takes me back to that little fucking road in Loganville, Georgia.
Oh, remember? Yes.
Right there by there was a fucking elementary school they built right next to this place.
Yes.
And it was just this strip of road. It was two-lane road, but it was all satanic writings, and the pentagram was everywhere. And it was said that if you actually got out of your car, and are you still playing that sound?
What sound?
That's weird, dude. Never mind. But no, it was said if you were to get out of your car and run around your car three times, it would shut off. Do you remember that?
Did we try it?
We did actually. It was us and my sister, and nothing happened. Yeah, it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah,
but still, like, there was, you know, you could see like little trails going off into the woods, and that's where they said like sacrifices were being made, like people were like cutting cats open and shit. Fucking weird, dude. Weird. But this Gravity Hill reminds me of that because there's all sorts of satanic writing on the road, and it says this woman got out of her car to push the car up the hill. Oh, Jesus Christ. And then a truck came along and hit her and her child.
Oh.
Today, the legend is that if you go up the hill and put baby powder on the hood, you will see handprints when you get to the top. I just got fucking goosebumps, man. That's creepy as shit.
That reminds me of like some Final Destination stuff, like with the truck with the logs on it and the chain brakes. Like, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, I saw that street and I was like, man, that I literally had a flashback to Loganville, Georgia in like fucking 1998. Fucking nuts, dude. Nuts.
So another urban legend I think that most people are probably familiar with is the kidney heist.
I don't know. I don't even know what that is. What's that?
That's the one where either a young man gets seduced by a pretty woman or he goes to buy an escort. And then wakes up the next morning in a bathtub full of ice and he's missing a kidney.
I thought people actually did that and sold them on the fucking black market.
That's the urban legend. They said it's never been really clear if that really happens or not.
Man, get the fuck out of here. You know that shit happens.
It's what's on here.
Hey, no.
That's 10 urban legends.
That's okay. We'll take it. We'll take it. I don't know, man. That's crazy.
I think that's the crazy. Last one on here that I think is really interesting is Slender Man. So this one I was kind of familiar with ahead of time.
Yeah,
this was something new for you. So Slender Man is like a modern urban legend. And it was basically people photoshopping pictures of like a very tall, skinny, slender person that you can't see the face, like long fingers, like creepy looking American Horror Story type person, right?
Yep.
And basically, he's the modern day Pied Piper. And so it's said that if you were to see him, he would lure you away and would really go after like young women, young children. And once they would go with the Slender Man, they'd never be seen again. So something that started off, it went viral. It was a very digital, virtual, like type of urban legend that shows up like often on social media pages and things. So,
but here's a question. Here's a fucking question. Can you really consider that an urban legend when I could literally superimpose some fucking slender black figure behind me? Like, I mean, come on, man. I don't know. Internet sucks.
I think the urban legend, though, is it's what people think are real at the time, right? So, yeah. Like, does anybody really still believe in Bloody Mary? You know, as kids, no. You kind of did, but do you really now? Same thing like with Slender Man, like when it happened, just like the crazy clowns that would knock on the doors and like burst into people's houses and stuff like that.
Fuck them up. I'm not going to go into clowns again. I'm not doing it. Go ahead.
Keep going. But those are things like people like, oh, the clowns are back. It's like, but are they really? No, somebody's just reposting some things that happened years ago. They're not really back. And if they are, it's somebody imitating it to freak people out.
Don't come here.
There's one behind.
Do not come here. No, there isn't. Hey, I just found another one. This only in your state website. Guys, if you live here in North Carolina, you need to check this shit out because this is where I'm getting all these urban legends from. This one's actually at the Biltmore, which is like 20 minutes. Yeah, 20 minutes down the road. So apparently, let's see. Her name was Edith Vanderbilt. And after her husband died from complications.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
It said that she would sit in his favorite room in the library in the front of the marble fireplace and carry on a conversation as if he was still there. She'd ask him questions, talk about the day. eventually the servants began to think like, she's fucking cuckoo, man. She's fucking nuts. So, you know, obviously she was riddled with grief, but let's see, her inability to cope with George's death was persistent in the afterlife. It is said that to this day, you can still hear her voice lightly talking to George in the Biltmore. That's fucking cool. And you know what? Here's a question. Why hasn't Ghost Hunters done the Biltmore? Because I've heard that the Biltmore is haunted.
That may be because the Biltmore is known for more of its prestige and
yeah, that's true.
High class society. It's that when the Biltmore Hotel was built, it was ahead of its time, if I remember correctly. And it's gorgeous. It was a modern marvel back then. And it's very high class. So they probably don't want that reputation because then they get people kind of coming from there to be like ghost hunters and investigators, which is not really, I think, what they want.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. But still, that's fucking crazy, dude.
It is.
I mean, like I said, you got to pay like $75 a person just to drive through the gate of the Biltmore. Just to get through the gate, like $75 ahead. Yeah, man, it's crazy. That's why we haven't been there yet. Too fucking expensive. I ain't doing that shit.
So when I was growing up, when we lived in North Carolina, I think you paid $5 to drive through and watch Christmas lights.
Really? Yeah, no. Yeah. Not no more.
$75. That's probably with no Christmas lights. With Christmas lights, it's probably what, like $300?
Dude, I don't even know. I don't even know. I'm going to put Christmas lights on my house, and that's about the Christmas lights we go and see. Although we may go to South Carolina this year because there's a great place in South Carolina. Anyways, let's not get too far off topic.
All right, I've got one more. It's called The Monster of Elizabeth Lake. And this one is in California, and this one is outside of Lancaster in L.A. And it's said that this lake carries an evil presence below the water surface. And it's said to have been created by the devil himself for keeping off his hellish pets. The urban legend continues. Oh, wait, where'd he go? Oh, hang on. User error. Okay, here we go. Damn Papa Bads.
I know.
The first sighting. Okay, so hang on. It continues to state that a passageway to hell can be found if you swim deep into the lake.
Ooh.
The first sighting of a monster of Elizabeth Lake dates back to the 1880. So this is a pretty old one. And the monster said to have the neck of a giraffe, the head of a bulldog, bat wings, estimated to be about 50 feet long, smells like rancid decay. For the next century, sightings of the monster of Elizabeth Lake would continue to be reported and strike fear in the locals.
I mean, at least Nessie is pictured as like a dinosaur looking thing. Like, come on, dude. Jesus. That's insane. Yeah. That's insane.
So it gets better. So the locals were so scared, the landowners actually would sell or completely abandon their property. Also, attempts to build on the lake came to no avail. At night, residents could hear awful screams from the lake and would have terrible visions. Farm animals would disappear and sightings of flying winged creatures was reported to be seen overhead. Ranchers have even tried to capture the beast, with one of the legends saying that a group of them did in fact kill the monster. However, any proof of the creature's existence, death, is yet to be discovered.
No shit.
Wow.
That's insane. Well, you know what? Let's keep to that because I found another one.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, this is good.
We're just going to roll.
So, man-made Lake Norman here in North Carolina. Man-made back in 1963.
Yeah.
It was created by damming the Catawba River at Cowan's Fort. Anyway, whatever. So, apparently, this monster's name is Normie. Normie. Awesome.
How original.
What a fantastic name. But it says that Normie has so many reports and sightings, it's hard to believe that this fucking shit isn't true. It's hard to believe it. Divers reported seeing it. Fishermen reported seeing it. People, divers that have gone, vowed never to dive in certain parts of the lake again because they've seen it. So, I mean,
what have they seen again?
He's not really described here. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, they say it could be an overgrown garfish or a mutated freshwater eel, but it's still a mystery as to exactly what Normie is. But he's a massive monster in Lake Norman.
I wonder if it's like one of those catfish or something that you see in that show, like Monsters or River Monsters or something.
Yeah. That could be.
Look really ugly and really deformed looking.
Yeah. And some of them are big enough to fucking eat a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. I thought that one was kind of cool. I don't think Lake Norman's too far from me, actually.
No, I don't believe it is. That's probably an easy one to get to.
Hell yeah, dude.
So now, okay. Turnbull Canyon hauntings. Death is said to reside within this hiking canyon in Puyent Hills Preserve near Whittier. Turnbull Canyon is once referred to as the Gabrielino Indians. I can't even say these names, or the place of the devil. So this is going back to Native American Indian land and such. The legend talks about the whole region being haunted by the Indians who are murdered for not converting to Catholicism. The spirits are believed to be lingering in unrest in the canyon years later. Turnbull Canyon would be the site of numerous satanic rituals held by cults attempting to conjure demons and Satan himself, often sacrificing children from nearby orphanages. The sinister cult suddenly vanished one night. What was left behind in their wake were paranormal sightings and occurrences being reported by hikers and locals claiming to see hooded figures, hellish creatures, and mutilated children. More mysterious deaths have occurred in Turnbull Canyon since the dark history began. A teenager was electrocuted while exploring the ruins of an old asylum in the canyon, and a plane also crashed here in 1978, taking 29 lives.
Where's this at?
It's in Whittier, California.
No shit.
Or Whiter. I don't know how you say it, but
I have no idea.
The further I go down the list, the more screwed up these things are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you're talking about Native Americans getting murdered because they wouldn't turn Catholic, I mean, you know, there's
sacrificing orphanages, cults disappearing, shadow figures and cloaks turning up, mutilated children haunting people, airplane crash. Someone getting electrocuted, and there's an asylum there. Nothing ever good comes from an abandoned asylum. And then somebody gets electrocuted in it. I don't know how they got electrocuted. Was there like a chair or something? Like, oh, let me try it.
I'm going to guess no. Oh, well, if it's an asylum.
I mean.
Was he electrocuted in the asylum? Does it say?
But it doesn't say how. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, he could have fucking touched a wire that was on the ground and fried himself. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, who knows? But it's the same thing. They're all urban legends. Like, the myth is amazing.
All right, amazing. I got one more.
Amazing. All right, fire away. Let's go.
The ghost of Stowe Lake. So San Francisco's Golden Gate Park is home of one of the city's most famous ghosts. Stowe Lake is said to have haunted by the spirit of a woman after attempting to save her child who fell in the water, drowned in the lake. Legend goes that this woman, referred to as the White Lady, wanders the edges of Stowe Lake as she searches for her baby. She can even be summoned by visitors. It's said that the most active area surrounding the lake is near the Pioneer Woman and Children's statue. So I guess there's a statue over there. Brave ghost seekers can summon the woman by calling out, white lady, I have your baby, three times. It kind of goes back to that, the Mary, Bloody Mary thing. I feel like
Jesus.
If she believes you, the woman will appear before you and will ask you for her baby back. The legend bewares both skeptics and believers from doing this, for if you tell her you have her baby, the woman will haunt you the rest of your life. If you tell the woman you don't have her baby after summoning her, legend says she will drag you into the Stowe Lake and give you the same watery death that she suffered.
Good God. Good God, man. Jesus Christ. That's insane.
On that note.
That's insane. But that's so, that's what's so cool, man. There's so many stories. And I know we kind of really just hit on North Carolina and California, but
these are just new and exciting to us because they're ones we haven't heard before.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
And if our listeners, if you guys have any that
yes.
you want to share, either comment on YouTube, send us an email, whatever, we can read it on next week's podcast. I mean,
right.
I am all about that shit. Because even, dude, Annabelle is even on here. The Raggedy Ann doll. That
really?
Yeah, that like supposedly fucking kills people. Bullshit. Either way, but I'll tell you what.
I knew that was a movie, but I didn't know it was based on an urban legend. That's kind of
interesting. Yeah, apparently so. According to Wikipedia, it is anyway. But who fucking knows? Wikipedia is full of shit. Anybody can add Wikipedia, but whatever. But that's the other creepy thing is dolls. I can't go into a house full of dolls. Especially old ones. I can't.
What makes that even more like, have you seen the latest Chucky movie?
No, no, no.
It gives a whole new twist to that because basically the doll is, it's like a computer programmed doll now. It's no longer the pull the string wind up like possessed doll. Now it's like a computer programmed doll, which makes
Get
it more realistic because that doll like flips out and starts killing people, but it's programmed that way. It almost brings like a Terminator element into it.
I guess. But I mean, but that like you could go back to what was that movie? Was it Small Soldiers? What was the name of that movie that
Toy Soldiers?
No,
Small Soldiers
was 80s.
Yeah, small
soldiers. I think it was Small Soldiers, like where they, you know, they put the computer brain in them and then they tried to take over and all this other shit. Yeah, whatever. If they turn Chucky into a robotic doll, I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense today. Everything's fucking computers. I get it. It just takes away from the original, man. I'm a stickler for the orig. I can't help it. Just one of those things. But that's, again, it's just the beauty of the season, man. You know, I love all this shit. Watched The Crow the other night. And Zach's like, hey, can I watch it? I was like, get the fuck out. Get out of here. You can't. You can't watch this shit, dude. Listen, and I know we got to wrap up. We started watching The Haunting of Hill.
Haunting of Hill House? Or yeah. Bly Manor?
No, Hill House. We wanted to watch Hill House first, but then I realized pretty quickly there was a lesbian scene in there and Zach was watching and I was like, oh fuck, we're going to turn that off right now. So we didn't get through it, but man, the fucking crooked neck lady. Holy shit, dude. She's creepy as fuck.
Gets worse and worse.
Oh yeah. Oh, look who that is.
Yep,
I know who that is.
Speaking
all right, man.
Now that we've scared our listeners to where they're not going to sleep tonight.
I doubt that. They may laugh themselves to sleep, but
this is our trick or treat for you. So have fun. I'm sure you'll wake up with nightmares. That's okay. It's part of the season.
It is.
November's right around the corner. You'll be fine.
Yep. That's true. But yeah, listen, guys, we really appreciate you listening. Appreciate all the support. Look us up on Facebook, Misguided Shenanigans, Instagram, Twitter, Misguided Shenanigans at gmail.com. Or no, I'm sorry, misguidedshenanigans@outlook.com. Is our email. Subscribe to us on YouTube. I want to hear some urban legends for fucking real. Somebody send me some shit so I can read it, and we'll read it next week.
Listen, subscribe, and follow. Do all those magical fun things.
Absolutely. And this episode tonight will round out our Halloween month. So we appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a hell of a time doing it. And we'll catch you next week.
Yeah, we got some big, exciting things for November as well. So definitely keep listening, because we're going to have some fun times for the rest of the year. So until then, later.
Bye.